And this morning, I really just felt earlier on in the week, something dropped in my heart. And I really want to just talk to you this morning about the fact that God has created you for fruitfulness. God has created you for fruitfulness. And even as we were worshiping, I just saw a picture this morning of a salad bowl. And it was full of salad. And on top of the salad were various kinds of seed. You know, whatever your favorite one is, maybe it's pumpkin seed, whatever. I don't know all the seeds that are there right now. But on top of the salad were seeds. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, yeah, I'm nice and healthy. I'm doing all right. It's, you know, this is the right thing to do. But I just felt Holy Spirit just prompt me and say that the seed was not intended to dress your salad, but the seed was intended to be planted that it might bear fruit. And some of you at the moment are using the seed as a dressing. But God wants far more for you. He wants you to be fruitful, and the seed needs to be planted. It's not a garnish. It's not to make something look good. It's not even to make you feel good. The seed is to be planted in order that you might bear fruit. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, prays that we might, in Philippians 1:11, he prays that we might be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And Paul does not reference this idea of bearing fruit, even as Jesus doesn't talk about bearing fruit incidentally. And Paul doesn't do it either. Paul is intentional and deliberate when he talks about the believer being those who bear fruit. Because in Scripture, as you read Scripture, as we read Scripture, there is a deep mine, or if you like, a well that needs to be plummeted. And right through Scripture, right from the beginning in Genesis through to the end of Revelation, is a seam, if you like, of fruitfulness. God speaks about His people being fruitful. It's clear that for God, you know, for God, I think He wants us, this idea of fruitfulness is almost as significant as His plan for our redemption. Because He has called us to something, and He is calling us as a people to fruitfulness, because we were created to be fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, like everything else, starts with God. It starts with God Himself. When God, right in the beginning of Genesis, creates the earth, creates the land, and He gives it the capacity to produce fruit. He gives it the capacity to bear fruit. And then God blesses the animals, He blesses the land to be fruitful and to multiply. And He calls us, human beings who are created in His image, to what? To go forth and increase in number. In other words, to be fruitful. So let me ask you this morning, are you being fruitful? And I'm not talking about natural fruit, I'm talking about spiritual fruit, because fruitfulness is the mandate, it's the instruction that has been given to every single disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an option. God tells us He wants us to be fruitful. The original mandate, of course, has to do with building families, building homes, building and growing crops, breeding animals. In other words, cultivating creation itself. But we are mandated to represent God's rule over the earth through activity, through our relationship with others, and reflect the creative hand of God. When people look at us, they should see the creative nature of God in us by His Spirit. We know, we know that through sin coming into the world, God's original plan, that where he intended Adam and Eve to spread and to bless the nations by spreading out and being fruitful across the earth. We know that that came to an end when sin came in and they were expelled from the garden. But God still has a plan for our fruitfulness. What I love about God is this, that when we mess up, and we do, God doesn't then just rewrite his plans. He doesn't think, oh dear, that's failed, I need to think of something else. When we look in Scripture and we see priesthood, we see how many times the nation of Israel and the priests messed up, but God didn't start again. He simply went looking for someone else who would walk in obedience. And likewise, the fact that, you know, Adam and Eve failed to be fruitful in the way that God intended, God has not given up on us, and his plan is still that we are a fruitful people. We were created to be fruitful. Genesis continues, and the promises of fruitfulness are reinstated as we look through Scripture. It's reemphasized through Noah and the flood. It's reemphasized through Abraham when Abraham was told that he would be a father of nations. God didn't suddenly change his plan and decide then that we were no longer going to be fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. Listen to what it says in Psalm 80, verses 8 to 11. This is what God says. Even after the people of Israel had disobeyed him, he still comes back and he says, you brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. You took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It set out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. And again in Psalm 1, the whole of Psalm 1 talks about a tree that is planted by streams of living water, and it talks about a tree that is fruitful. And God intends every single one of us to be fruitful. He has planted us in the right place. He has planted us in good ground, in good soil, and the intention is that we are a fruitful people. Bearing fruit is a model that God establishes in the Word. Through Scripture, those who are in a righteous covenant with relationship with God are to constantly meditate on his law. In fact, Psalm 1:3 tells us we are like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in due season and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prospers. God's intention is for us to be those that bear fruit. And of course, we know that they didn't always get it right. Israel did not always get it right. The biggest complaint of the prophets, as we look in the Old Testament, is, you know, Israel was referred to as the vine and the vineyard. And it seems that Israel was constantly unable to produce the fruit that God wanted. In fact, the song of the vineyard in Isaiah 5, 1 to 7 records the deep sadness that God has that his chosen people who have been planted to bear fruit are not bearing the fruit that he wants them to. And the consequence of them walking in disobedience is that they are sent into exile. The nation is exiled. They're dispersed. But God still has a plan, because the theme of fruitfulness is picked up again through the promises of restoration that God speaks to the nation. In Isaiah 32, verse 15 to 17, it says this: the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest. sorry. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. I don't know, maybe you're feeling that you're in the wilderness at the moment, that you're feeling as though you're in a dry place. But God has declared that it will become a place of fruitfulness. Hallelujah. God has determined that you will be fruitful, that I will be fruitful. And Jesus, because God speaks about fruitfulness, it's no wonder, and we shouldn't be surprised, that Jesus himself then continues the image of fruitfulness. He uses fruitful images, things based on fruitfulness, sowing and harvesting, planting, reaping and sowing, vineyards. And he then makes a statement in John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Or some translations say it's that he is the gardener. You see, through that declaration, Jesus then takes up the role that God has assigned to Israel. And God and Jesus says that I will be the fruitful vine. I will be the one that when you abide in me, when you rest in me, you too will be fruitful. Abiding in Jesus, remaining in him, in the true vine, causes us then to be the bearers of fruit. John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear fruit, much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the consequence of abiding in Christ Jesus is not that we bear some fruit or little fruit, but Jesus says he wants us to bear much fruit as we abide in him. And Paul picks up the language of fruit in various points of his various letters. And he states that fruitfulness is not just for Israel, not just for the Jew, but fruitfulness is for the Gentile, and that's us. We who have been grafted into the vine, we who have now been given a new purpose because we have been called to fruitfulness. I want to just talk very quickly about five areas of fruitfulness in our lives. First of all, there is the fruitful soul. The fruitful soul, where we demonstrate the evidence of the Spirit of God working in us. In Galatians 5, 22 to 23, it says this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no laws. There are many ways that we as Christians, as believers, can be fruitful, many ways that we can be fruitful, but it begins in the heart. It begins when we allow Holy Spirit, who lives in us, to birth that the fruit of the Spirit, so that it comes out. The inner fruit is birthed in us first, and then it works its way out. Those things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all of those things are birthed in the heart as we allow Holy Spirit to cause those things to grow. And as they grow, then they begin to spill out. There are certain plants, bamboo, Chinese knotweed, that if you don't control it, they will go through anything. They'll go through brickwork, through mortar, through paving stones, whatever. And likewise, the Spirit of God, when we allow him to cultivate our hearts, so those things of the Spirit grow in us and they begin to spill out. And they begin to manifest and be evident in our lives. And so there's a fruitfulness of the soul. God has called us to be fruitfulness. The second thing is there is a fruitfulness of the mind. Philippians 4, verses 8 to 9, and Romans 8, 5 to 8. I'm going to read them together. As I said, I'm going to let Scripture just do the talking, because as it reads, it tells us, it says this: whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And then Romans 8 goes on to say, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit of is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then in Ephesians 4, it reminds us, it goes on to tell us to take off the old self, to put on the new self. And we who are in Christ, again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And we are told that as we bear fruit, that we are called to have a fruitful mind, to think on the things of heaven, to think of the things of kingdom, to think of the things of God. And the word reminds us that if we are of flesh, if we are of natural, if we have not been born again to the things of spirit, then we have no part with God, because we are dead. And so the scriptures encourage us that we have a fruitful mind, to think on those things that will encourage, will strengthen, will nurture the heart, the mind, the soul. Think on these things. Look at the things of heaven, not of the things of earth. The second thing that we're called to be fruitful in is fruitful in our deeds. Colossians 1:10 encourages us, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And then in 1 Peter 3:10, it reminds us again about the tongue and how destructive the tongue is. And so Peter encourages us that part of us bearing fruit in terms of our deeds is that we need to guard what we say. We need to guard our tongues. Be careful what comes out, what we release. It's not just in our actions, but also in what we say. And when we allow Holy Spirit to cultivate in us hearts of fruitfulness, hearts that are toward heaven, then that affects the things that we say and the things that we do. We are called to be fruitful in word and in deed. So think about some of the things that we say, some of the things that you say. Are you bearing the fruit of the Spirit in your actions? Is that evident? The fourth thing then is that we are called to be fruitful in our gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 reminds us, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And Peter tells us there, as each. And so it's important to understand that every single one of us has a gift. Every single one of us has, you know, gifts within us. It's not that some do and some don't. Every single person that professes to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ has declared him to be Lord. We all have something, as each. So don't Don't believe the lie and say you've got nothing because you have something. And we are encouraged that as we bring our gifts, we are to bring it for the purpose of serving and building and encouraging one another. And Romans 12, verse 4 to 6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to the faith. And so, again, Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans that we haven't all got the same gifts. We have different gifts so that together we make a beautiful tapestry and a beautiful picture because of the fact that we're not the same. But don't believe for a moment that you don't have anything because you do. God, by his Spirit, is birthing and wants to birth something in us because he has called us to fruitfulness. And the fifth thing is that we are called to fruitfulness in fellowship. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And again, I've said this many times, it's the only part of Scripture, as far as I understand it, that encourages us to be in fellowship. It says, let us consider how we may stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We are told to be fruitful in our fellowship, that as we gather together, we come together, not for the purpose of tearing one another down, not for the purpose of finding fault in one another, but for the sole purpose of encouraging one another in the faith, strengthening one another, building one another up, to be fruitful in fellowship. And Psalm 133 goes on to remind us of this fact. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers, and that includes you as well, ladies, when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life evermore. God has called us to lives of fruitfulness. He's called us to fruitfulness of the soul, to a fruitfulness of our minds. Guard our minds, that the things we think about are wholesome, healthy, and encouraging to build not just us, but to build the body. We're called to be fruitful in our deeds, to be fruitful in the gifts that we steward or manage or release in the house. And it's great. It really is encouraging. I don't know about you, but I'm so encouraged over these last few weeks as we are seeing with increased measure the gifts being released in the house, as people bringing that prophetic word, bringing the word of encouragement, people praying, people bringing the word of release, prophesying. And it's great to see that being evidenced in the house as we steward our gifts of grace. And we are called to be fruitful in fellowship and community with one another. We come to Christ singularly, but we don't live in Christ solitarily. We need one another. We can learn from one another. I don't have it all, neither do you. And so you may have something that I just need in this moment in my life. Likewise, you know, it may be that I might speak something and it just releases something in you. It speaks directly to you. God has called us to fruitfulness. And so, are you barren this morning? Are you in a wilderness? Picture for a moment where you see yourself. Are you in a land that is green and plush? A well-watered land, like the scriptures tell us. We've been planted in the ground by streams of living water? Or are you in a wilderness where perhaps it's dry and you see the evidence of where streams once flowed? It's maybe just a trickle or even just a gully that's dried up. You may be in a wilderness, you may be in a barren land at the moment, but it's not where God intends you to live. It's for a time. God's intention is to bring us through to a land of plenty, to a land of fruitfulness, a place of fruitfulness.